Psalm 67, and I pray the Lord will bring this home to our heart. Bring this home to our heart. I'm entitling the message from the words found several places here. God shall bless us. You see that? God be merciful unto us and bless us. God bless us. Now, we don't deserve blessings, do we? The wages of sin is death. But God said, I will bless my people. And then again down here in verse 6, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us for Christ's sake. And then again in verse 7, it's repeated again the third time. And whenever I see things in threes, what do you think of? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth. God has a people, all the ends of the earth. Wherever the end, where is the end of the earth? I don't know. You can't find an end, can you? It just goes around and around and around. All the ends of the earth shall fear him. Now, God is to be feared because he's holy. Holy and reverent is his name. And we do. We do fear him. Not in a slavish way, but in a reverential way because of who he is. God shall bless us. Not because we're deserving, because he's gracious, because he is merciful. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not ungodly or holy presumption, but rather holy confidence and assurance in the God of all grace. He's called in Scripture the God of all grace, who shall not fail to bless us for Christ's sake. You remember, in Romans chapter 4, where it said that Abraham was fully persuaded that all that God had promised, he's able to perform. Now, you think of everything he's promised. That's a lot of promises. Peter talked about the exceeding great and precious promises. But all that he has promised us, he's able to perform. Because he's the Father of mercies, he's the God of all grace. I'm thinking of this scripture here. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. This is 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God shall bless us. Now that, again, that's not presumption. That's believing God, taking him at his word. God shall bless us. Now, let's look at verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, his presence to shine upon us. Now, threefold petition of prayer is all we need here and hereafter, now and forever. It includes all grace now and all glory forever. And it's a repeated prayer that Moses prayed in Numbers chapter 6, where he said, bless us and make your face to shine upon us. Don't turn on me, just see if I can read it. I read this to close the funeral service today in Numbers chapter 6. Say to the people of Israel, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God shall bless us. He shall bless his people abundantly, and he does in Christ. Bless us. He gives us all grace now and glory forever and ever. Turn over a few pages. Psalm 84. Turn over there. Psalm 84 for just a moment. Psalm 84, look at verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. He will. He says, I will and you shall. I will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, those who believe. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. He will bless us. God be merciful unto us and bless us. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. God be merciful unto me, the sinner. That's what Moses prayed. Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. That's sovereign mercy, isn't it? God's greatest glory is to show mercy. That's my greatest need. God be merciful. What did that sinner pray in Luke 18? The Pharisee bragged on himself, didn't he? The publican said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord said, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. So he said, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. Bless us for Christ's sake. I looked at this scripture just across the page, Psalm 68, verse 8. Verse 18, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Look at verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He is the God, he is our God, he is the God of salvation. Unto God, the Lord, belongeth the issues from death. Our days are determined of the Lord. Lord, cause your face. Look back at the text. Cause. Be merciful unto us and bless us. And then the third thing, Lord, cause us. Cause your face to shine upon us. Now, if he blesses us, he's merciful unto us, and he's the cause of his glory shining in our heart by the revelation of God the Holy Spirit, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Cause the face of Christ to shine upon us, or let us see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is called the express image of the invisible God who put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of righteousness that does arise in our hearts, that we might see the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, cause your face to shine upon us. Now, turn over here to Psalm 80 and look at this. Psalm 80, verse 3. This is repeated. You cause your glory, your face, your Christ to shine in our hearts, that we might see the glory of God in the face of Christ. Psalm 80, verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Do we need saved? Do we need to be saved? Yes. Psalm 80 again, look at verse 7. Turn us again, O God, God of hosts, the Lord of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. You see, he's the first cause and last end of our salvation. Again, he says in verse 17 of Psalm 80, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Verse 18. So we'll not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us, O Lord God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Now again, three times he says that. Why does he give that three times? Our God is a God, our hero, Lord, the Lord our God is one God, but he's manifested in three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So he's the cause of our salvation. The Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. The Son in time came and redeemed us by his blood. And then God, the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He regenerates and he quickens. He raises us up from the dead and makes us new creatures in Christ. Now, look at verse 2. Be merciful unto us, bless us, and cause your face, your glory, to shine upon us. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving help, or thy saving power among all nations. Now, there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end of that way is death. There is just one way of salvation. Remember I told you the story about the little boy who was riding along with his grandpa? And the little boy, 5, 6 year old, was riding along in the car with his grandpa. And he saw a traffic sign that said, one way. One way. And that little boy had been taught by somebody that there's just one way of salvation. He said, look, Papa, there's the gospel. One way. One way. We ought to remember that every time we see a one-way sign. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is that way of salvation. He's not a way. A lot of people say there's this way and that way and another way. We're all trying to get to the mountain of heaven, but we're all going different ways. The Buddhists are going this way. The Muslims are going this way. The Hindus are going this way. The Mormons are going this way. There's just one way of salvation. And our Lord specifically said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him in that way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. So it's an exclusive way. It's God's way of salvation. It's Christ is the new and living way, that thy way may be known. You see that? Now, by nature, we don't know the way. We're dumb, lost, ignorant sinners, guilty. By nature, we don't know the way. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He must show us the way. What did Moses pray? Lord, show me your glory. He must, that word known means revealed. He must reveal himself unto us, or we'll never know him. As I said in message recently, it takes God to reveal God. It takes God to reveal God. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto his babes. Even so, Father, it seems good in thy sight. That thy way may be known. The second part of verse 2. Thy saving help among all nations. Thy saving help, or thy saving strength, or thy saving power may be known. Now, where do we see the saving power of God revealed? In Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ crucified is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Now, I know everybody is concerned about personal physical health. Everybody wants to be healthy. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be healthy. We should eat right and exercise right and do those things that are right. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about our spiritual well-being. Our spiritual well-being. Our spiritual health in Christ. God's salvation is by his appointing, his promising, his sending. Salvation is by Christ and by him only. He came to obtain it. He's the author of it, the strength of it, the power of it, and he's the health of it. That means he's the life of it. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. He is the way. If he's merciful unto us and he blesses us, and he causes his face to shine upon us, we'll know that Christ is the way. We'll know that his salvation is the salvation of his saving power And he makes this known among all people, all nations. Remember Revelation 5? He has a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven that sang that new song, redeemed with the blood of Christ. Now here's a chorus to this psalm in Psalm 67. Let the people praise thee. The people. Now, when I see that phrase, the people, what do you think of? Here's what I think of. Call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. He shall save his people from their sin. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And that word there, praise, has reference to do with worship. And he repeats it again. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Now, this is something when we talk about praising the Lord, it is worship. And that praising the Lord and worship, it's not something outward this way, with the waving of the hands and all this. It's in the heart. The Lord looketh upon the heart. That's how we worship the Lord, and that's how we praise the Lord, in the heart. The Father seeketh us to worship him in spirit and in truth. It is impossible to approach God apart from Christ, right? Right? But it's also impossible to worship the true and living God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ and him crucified. Where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is denied, there's no true worship. And you get that? Where the grace of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is denied, there's no true worship. Where the gospel is denied, we worship him in spirit and in what? Truth. Spirit and in truth. Excuse me. Now look at verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people. There's those people again. He's talking about God's elect, God's covenant chosen. He shall judge them righteously. And he did at Calvary. That's what happened at the cross. He judged our sin righteously. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died. When our sin was charged to him, laid upon him, it exacted God's penalty for sin, which is what? Death. That's why he died. Had not God made him sin for us, he couldn't have died. But because God did make him sin for us, he died, shed his blood, and put away our sin. Now justice is satisfied. The law is satisfied. And we have salvation because of that substitutionary sacrifice. Let the people, let the nation be glad. All the pagan nations, God has a people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue under heaven. And let them sing for joy. We sing for joy. What are we saying? What are we saying? I think this is a good song right here. Look at Psalm 98, verse 1. Psalm 98, verse 1. What are we saying? Let us rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And then let us sing, Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things, and his right hand hath gotten him, his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He openly has shown. Who was it that said in Scripture, this thing wasn't done in a corner? God did it openly. Look back at verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. We do rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no confidence in the flesh. God has judged his people righteously. And then it says there, and he governs us. Selah. He governs us. Aren't you glad he's the governor? Aren't you glad that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The kings of the nations are in his hand. And they only do what God determined for them to do. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whithersoever he will, like he does the rivers. God shall govern us, and he does, righteously, sovereignly. His dominion is from everlasting to everlasting. His dominion reaches to all people, all things, of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory. Now, again, he says, let the people praise thee. A lot of people, when they hear about the absolute sovereignty of God in creation, sometimes they'll go along with that. When they hear about the absolute sovereignty of God in providence, sometimes they'll even agree with that. But when you get down to that third thing, that's where you have a problem with religious lost people, that he's sovereign in salvation. Doesn't he pray that in John 17? Father, you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as you have given to me. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll show compassion on whom I will show compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that shows mercy unto us. Now look at verse 6 and verse 7. He judged our sin and put away our sin as far as the east is from the west. He cast him into the depths of the sea. He made an end of our sin. And because of all that, we do bless his name. Now look at verse 6. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear or worship him. The earth shall yield her increase. Now, this is not talking about a physical, abundant bumper crop or harvest of corn or wheat. But if we do have a bumper crop, it's because God has blessed us. But it's not talking about a physical cornfield or a bumper crop of wheat or corn, but rather the increase and the abundance of spiritual blessings of the gospel. When the seed of the word is sown in the good ground, it brings forth much fruit. You remember Matthew 13, 30-fold, 60, 100-fold? When that seed of the word of God is planted, that incorruptible seed planted in the heart, that good ground prepared by God, what happens? It brings forth fruit. It brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, these things. The Lord has promised to bless his word. Then shall the earth yield her increase. Because God has blessed his word. God, even, I like this statement here, even our own God. We say with David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We say with David, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? God shall bless us, and he has, and he will, for all eternity. No end to his blessing, is it? Is there? God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything or he that watereth, but God Almighty gives the increase. God shall bless us. The Holy Spirit blesses us with regenerating and renewing grace. You hath he quickened who were dead. He gives us saving faith. God shall bless us. He grants us saving faith. Faith is a gift of God. He gives us comfort in our heart. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. How can a guilty sinner find comfort before a holy God? Only in Christ, accomplishing salvation for us. He gives us faith. He gives us comfort. He gives us joy. He gives us peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he sheds abroad the the love of God in our heart. And that causes us to do this, to fear Him, to worship Him, to have a desire. By nature, men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. If we have a desire to believe Him, trust Him, worship Him, and come to Him, it's only because He is the first cause of it. God shall bless us. We see the effect of His blessing us. Holy fear, holy reverence. Grace in the heart changes the mind, the thoughts, the affection, the will. He makes us willing in the day of His power. Grace in the heart affects the whole man, the whole you. He changes your thoughts, your affections, your love, your emotions. He changes all these things. He makes us new creatures in Christ. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall know it and shall fear Him and worship Him.